Ever tried reading while jogging, cooking, or even juggling flaming torches? Yeah, it doesn't end well. But with audiobooks.com, you can conquer books without the circus act. Dive into over 450,000 titles, including more than 10,000 free ones. Get hooked on a bestseller, find your next obsession, or finally read that classic you've been avoiding since high school. And here's the inside scoop. Sign up today for a free 30-day trial and snag your first three audiobooks on the house. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.
Welcome to Dueling Reviews, a show where two guys sit down with one comic and who knows what's going to happen next.
Who knows what evil lurks?
That's the shadow. We're not doing that this week.
No, that was Eleanor Roosevelt.
We are here to entertain you.
Who knows what evil lurks in the hearts of men?
Eleanor Roosevelt. Yeah. Eleanor Roosevelt is the evil that lurks in the hearts of men, or Eleanor Roosevelt knows what evil lurks in the hearts of men.
Eleanor Roosevelt created evil.
Eleanor knows.
Exactly.
Cackling in the background. Why do you think he was in a wheelchair?
See, we're in a 40s vibe because this week we're covering Captain America. Living Legend number one.
Okay, so Living Legend number one from Captain America. Yes. Oh, by the way, free podcast, I should point out. We're here doing work for you so that you can be entertained and learn more about Captain America, Living Legend number one. And here's what I learned this week.
What's that?
This is not a very interesting book. I'm sorry. I know there's a lot of Captain America fans out there.
Yes, there are. And there are three things about this book that I feel you need to know when you come in.
Okay, first, number one.
It is one of literally hundreds of Captain America retro 40s retcon implant stories.
But could fit into the continuity, right? I mean,
right, but
we don't know how many missions Steve Rogers went on during World War II.
This is a self-contained miniseries, which means the ramifications of the miniseries are most likely.
Well, and quite honestly, with Marvel rebooting with all their new number ones every couple of months, what really does matter about continuity? Nothing really.
Secondly, it's drawn by A.D. Granov, which is kind of the visual equivalent of the CGI that they used in the first Harry Potter movie where he was fighting the troll, where everything was slick and rubbery and rubbery and slick, and you're kind of like, that's not really Harry Potter. That's a CGI Harry Potter.
This past week when I was talking on the Major Spoilers podcast, and I did that real quick review of The Shadow Now, number one, and I said how I hated the art because it was kind of like that trying to do real-life modeling art.
Too smooth.
That it looked too smooth, number one, and that everybody looked lifeless even though they were in action. That's what this art is. This is the same art. And I don't know if it was the same artist in that or not.
Granoff is one of Marvel's cover guys. And I think he is one of those guys who the amount of time it takes him to do a page, he's not a 30-day guy. He's not a monthly book guy. And I think this series has been in the works for a while.
Oh, really?
Yeah, with Captain America going through and him doing it. And third, and this is the important bit that you need to know about this story. Captain America throws his mighty shield and cuts a Russian Tiger tank. It's probably not a Russian Tiger tank, but cuts a tank in half.
But they do yield immediately afterwards.
And of course you do, because that's the kind of thing that is a superhuman act requiring superhuman strength, which Captain America categorically at this point in his history should not.
Yeah, but he's got the super soldier serum. We've seen him in the Captain America movie. We've seen him do amazing things.
We've never seen him cut a tank in half.
Yeah, but it's not him that's
cutting. Captain America's not that powerful.
We're not seeing him cut the tank in half. We're seeing his shield do it. And isn't the adamantium shield?
It's an adamantium, well, depending on who you believe, it's an adamantium vibranium alloy at one point in the history.
Okay. So wouldn't you think that it could thrown at just the right angle with the fact that it's indestructible, that it should go
here's the thing.
And cut a photoshopped tank in half?
I'm going to use Steel Rodrigo's catchphrase, and I'm going to say, here's the thing. When I go and I play frisbee golf, it does not matter.
You're being serious. Okay.
Yeah, I am. It does not matter. Sometimes I hacky sack too, because I live in 1994. It does not matter what the Frisbee is made of. If I throw it with my normal strength, it is not going to cut the goalpost in half.
But it's not made of adamantium.
But that's not the point. I don't have the strength necessary to throw one thing through another thing. It's not it's not like razor sharp. It's actually, I think, vibranium. No, it's not.
Oh, because see, then this whole book is wrong.
And his arm, well, no.
So now my suspension of disbelief is totally out the window.
Really?
Because now I thought forever that there was a razor sharp edge on this. No, come on. This book was terrible from the beginning. I'm sorry, Andy Diggle, who wrote this book.
Diggle is a guy who I can take or leave. I didn't care for his work on Hellblazer.
Mm-hmm.
But there was maybe, was it 100 Bullets or something that he did? I don't know. Diggle is one of those guys who is just kind of, he's not a fave rave. He's not awful. I love parts of his work.
Hit and
this
miss.
Issue shows us Captain America in World War II,
right.
Which is okay.
They're storming a German bunker at the end of World War II.
On the Russian front.
Yeah.
So he's working together with the Russians.
Russian by the name of, what's his name? Volkov.
Volkov. Nikolai Volkov.
And Volkov wants to get the
heavyweight champion.
Volkov wants to get the rocket scientist before the Americans do. Volkov gets shot in the chest. Steve Rogers saves him. Flash forward to the present probably the 60s. Yeah.
Where Volkov is rocketed to the moon and is supposed to be the first man on the moon a full year before Apollo landed on the moon. Was it 11 that landed on the moon?
Yeah, Apollo 11.
Okay. So he goes, but we don't see what happens. He rockets out into space, and then they cut to the present.
Right.
Where the International Space Station is eaten by...
What is this Deus Project? Is that something that's in the Marvel Universe, or is this something that's in this story?
It is, to my knowledge, new here.
Oh, okay. So Deus Project...
It's literally a Deus Ex Machina.
Well, it's not really there to save everybody, because when they turn this... energy machine it feeds back onto itself.
Yeah, it's a device that's based on an alien race that Tony Stark.
Oh, is it? Okay, that was the question I had
a plot device.
Suddenly, everything starts. The energy starts feeding back onto itself, and the entire space station turns into an H.R. Geiger monster.
It. I looked at it, and I'm like watching the astronauts be assimilated by the Borg. Because they have.
Yeah, but why would an energy weapon feeding back, or not an energy weapon, an energy device feeding back onto itself change everything into an alien riff that lands down in Russia?
All we know is at the end of the issue, the SHIELD helicarrier in geosynchronous orbit over, I don't know, South Dakota.
It's top secret classified.
A one-word message, and that message
it's messages, government shutdown, go home.
No.
Oh.
No. SHIELD is essential personnel. They are not affected by furloughs. No, that is.
Are they?
Yes.
I watched that Avengers movie, and I saw that one SHIELD agent just playing Space Invaders on his computer.
Yeah. It should be noted that message was Volkov. Clearly, something is happening having to do with Volkov. We don't know what happened to him. So our hook here is supposed to be the mysterious agent who has a backstory with Captain America, who disappeared in space 45 years ago, is now somehow involved with H.R. Geiger and the Borg taking over the International Space Station and turning a girl who looks remarkably like Ruby Rocket.
Well, I thought she looked like the scientist girl from Danger Girls.
Oh, yeah, she does kind of look like Silicon Valerie, doesn't she?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can totally see that.
Why is her name Fox, though?
Fox?
Did they really have to go that far? Did they have to really go that far?
Did they really have to show her, you know,
with her spacesuit half-zipped down?
With her suit on, yeah.
Yeah.
A vaguely sexualized pose. It's not highly sexualized.
No, but I mean, I looked at it and I was like, okay, here comes the tentacle porn.
Boobarama! So... just as the story is, 1941, bad things happen. 1968, more things happen. 2000 and present, because Marvel books are on a sliding time scale, I get the hiccups. And the International Space Station is eaten by mechanical sperm.
Of some kind.
This is issue 1 of 5. I was not hooked.
Why? Because you're a big Captain America fan. What did not sell you on this?
I am not a big fan of the current Captain America armored look. I mean, I accept it because
I like that look.
It's successful because it's in a movie,
right?
There's nothing really here that says to me this is going to be, you know, a really poppy, relevant adventure. It starts out retro, and then it ties into some sort of pseudo history, mm-hmm. and then it ends with a cliffhanger. And I'm just, I don't know.
If you go from the story, if you go from a storytelling method, this hits everything that you need, right? You've got a prologue, which is this is what happened in World War II. Here's a little hint of something that happened 20 years later, and Volkov did not die, so Captain America did save him. So he has been thinking about Captain America for 45 years or whatever it's been, 20 years, 20 years after the war, still thinking about Captain America saving his life. And then he disappears. And then something strange happens in space, which leads us to a cliffhanger. So from a storytelling perspective, A to B to C to, oh my gosh.
Right.
You know, that is, I think, a good storytelling method. What I don't like is that everything is so beat over your head.
Yes,
were a Saturday morning serial, you know, from the 1930s and 40s, this would have been right up the alley because it does fit into that. It's just like when you watch one of the police procedurals. It's like, the first guy that you meet, he's the bad guy. You know, who's the guest star of the week? Oh, the bad guy is the guest star of the week.
And you'll always have that one guy who goes, like I told the other cops. Wait, other cops?
Yeah.
Here's the descriptor. This sequence is why this issue doesn't sell for me. Oh, no, it is a Panzer. We have nothing that will put a dent in it. Mm-hmm. Full page spread of Captain America.
I think I can help you.
Perhaps
with that.
I can help you. Yeah.
Captain America then takes head on a shot from a Panzer tank on the shield, flies back 40 feet, crashes into a tree, cuts the Panzer tank in half with his bare shield, or his shield thrown with his bare hands. Then the Germans surrender.
That's where he gets his giant strength, bare hands. If he would have just had human hands, he probably wouldn't have had the strength.
Actually, Ben Steele and his bear Hans, one of the greatest comics of the Golden Age. Hans, of course, is a bear with psychic powers.
Oh, I thought maybe he was one of the Howling Commandos or something.
What?
What's his team? Aren't they the Howling Commandos?
Sergeant Fury's Howling Commandos.
What was Steve Rogers' group in World War II?
Steve Rogers didn't have a group in World War II.
Well, who's the guy with the bowler derby and all that stuff?
Those guys are Sergeant Fury's Howling Commandos.
Oh, okay. All right.
Back when Nick Fury was a Caucasian from Brooklyn, he ran the Howling Commandos.
When did this happen?
1961. The guy with the bowler hat is Dum Dum Dugan,
who was the
Irish stereotype.
Right.
Then there was Pinky Pinkerton, who was the foppish stereotype. Then there was Percy. I don't remember his thing. There was Reb Ralston, who was the Southerner stereotype. It was actually one of those things where they had a little something to offend everybody. Mm-hmm. There was Dino Manelli, who was clearly not Dean Martin. Pretty much the only one of them who didn't get it was Gabe Jones. And Gabe Jones was African-American in 1961-63. So Gabe Jones was just kind of neutral.
Yeah.
Because they weren't going to do what they did with the other guys. And then a German guy joined up, Eric Koenig. Eric Koenig was actually terrible. That was after, I think, Pinky died. His name was Pinky.
God, why am I? Is this terrible? Spoiler warnings, please, in the future?
Pinky actually used to go to Hitler's bunker, and Hitler would say, you know what they're going to do tonight, Pinky?
I would say,
what's that, Hitler?
I think what's missing in this, especially when it's all Russian speak, are the little carrots so that we know that this is translated from Russian.
Right.
I think that's one thing that's missing that kind of – so, yes, the whole the prologue bit really killed it for me too because I was like, oh, this is – I agree with you, and I was joking earlier about the whole vibranium shield slashing through because it is somewhat ridiculous and silly.
It's supposed to be
that cool moment. And if it's supposed to be such the cool moment in this panel, it does get half page to an extent, but I don't know. You're right. For me, the story lacks
two things. It lacks restraint and it lacks a real coherent center that makes me want to either hate Volkov, understand Volkov, worry about what's going to happen.
I didn't care about him. That's the problem.
I didn't know about him. I mean, we get like a page of him being an unctuous little prick.
You know, I wonder
and
if
leading his troops into a situation where they're clearly going to die.
I wonder if that's his big deal, is that he's a real jerkwad. I mean, his commander's dying, and as the commander's saying, "Hey, don't go and attack that bunker. You're going to kill everybody." And so he turns around and says, "Hey, guys, the commander says, let's go and do this." I'm wondering, because he's laying there bleeding out on the floor and Steve Rogers is saving him, if Steve Rogers didn't do a transfusion with him, and that's why he lived, and perhaps he has some super soldier serum inside of him. Has there been anything? Has there been anything like that in the Marvel universe? I know we have Bruce Banner hooking up to his cousin, and she turns into She-Hulk.
Right. And
but has there been anything with Captain America doing that?
Spitfire of the Invaders got her power from a blood transfusion from the original Human Torch, who, by the way, is not a human and does not have blood. But it
robot
was the 70s.
Powers.
Things were different then. I don't know that anyone has directly received a blood transfusion. At one point, the Red Skull had a cloned Captain America body that was cloned from Captain America's body.
I'm gonna bet that that's a bit here.
Yeah,
because we don't know why he was saved, because the Russian agents are all like,
we're gonna find out, because there is no impetus for me to pick up issue two.
What? How many issues is this?
Five or six?
Do you
four? It's four.
Oh, only four, really?
Only four. Yeah.
Okay, so
we are now 25% of the way through the story.
So, Steve Rogers, so next question.
Yes.
How many people are living on the moon in the Marvel universe? In the DC universe, it's basically the former Justice League Watchtower is there.
To my knowledge.
We got the Watchers and the Inhumans.
In the Marvel universe, there's Attilan is no longer on the moon. It's floating over Oklahoma or something.
New York, that we found out in Infinity Number One.
Okay. And the Watcher is on the moon. And I think one of Jean Grey's many corpses is on the moon.
Okay, so there's not like a known...
No, I believe the Inhumans were the only regulars who lived, per se, on the moon.
Okay. All right, so something
is not
right.
By the way,
this is
a good pumpkin spice latte.
Oh, I'm drinking a pumpkin ale today. This is by... who is this by? Buffalo Bill's Brewery. America's original pumpkin ale. It's got a nice spice to it.
That sounds like death.
This is out of Seattle, Washington, Portland. No, this is brewed and bottled by independent brewers in Seattle, Portland, and California. Yeah. But it's good.
I think what it really comes down to in this issue for me is the comic is like the art. It's very slick. It's very facile.
Right.
It's very
$3.99.
Yeah, it's very... skillful, but it seems like it lacks the heart. It lacks, you know. I think it's kind of like Coltrane, no junk, no soul.
Yeah.
I just feel like we're at a point here in Captain America's life where this story feels a little passé, and the parts of it that could be awesome are done, and they're kind of tone deaf to the point where. It's kind of like when the kid who looks like Stifler walks in and goes, "Hey, guys, you want to talk politics?" And everybody says no. And he says, "Great, let's do it."
I think there's no hook here. To me, there's no real hook. It's just like set up. You know, I mentioned, you know, the process. But they're really at the end. There's nothing here that makes me want to go, "Volkov, exactly." You know,
I am Volkov. I will team up with Iron Sheik to take NWA Tag Championships. Oh, Mother Russia.
Have you ever listened to Iron Sheik on the radio when he's uncensored?
Iron Sheik is a stream. And you can't repeat his favorite lines because they're all curse words.
Oh, I know. They're great.
One that I love, though, he tweeted something the other week that I'm so behind. He's like, "Cancer is the effing BS." But he didn't say fudge.
Yeah. I think the problem is, for me, even though the story isn't terrible, there's nothing that I care about in this book. I was hoping, Captain America, living legend number one. Oh, this is going to show you why Captain America is legend, why his name strikes fear in the hearts of men. Why, when people see him coming, they know him as that guy, and we better get out of the way. Or unless they're talking about Volkov. Or, you know, as the way that the story is played out, it's maybe Volkov is the living legend, in which case, I don't care. Because I want to read a Captain America book and a Captain America story, not some story about a Russian who's gone mad because his people left him on the moon and Americans wouldn't go and save him. Although if you do go and watch Apollo 18, ladies and gentlemen,
you do find out. Is that the one where they find the footage on the moon?
Yeah, that's the one where they find the Russian capsule that got there before them. And it's creepy, but a lot of fun. It's a found footage movie, but.
Oh, I have to check that out.
It's worth checking out. I mean, it's done fairly decently as far as found footage movies go. I'm going to say, ladies and gentlemen, skip this week.
I would agree.
As you can see by we're jumping all over the place in our review.
Well,
this is kind of a skip it.
Yeah, it's not. It's not compelling to me. It's not an immediate lock, and I don't want to denigrate anybody involved and say you people suck.
No.
Because that's not what we're saying here. What we're saying here is the book just doesn't quite gel for me. And as much as there are good parts of it, there are other parts that just don't work. And it's kind of like that time I tried to make shoes out of boiled spaghetti.
Well, that just doesn't work at all.
Right. They didn't protect my feet for very long, and I had to replace them the next day. And it's just, you know.
You need to stop watching Charlie Chaplin movies.
Well, I'm sorry.
They're actually really good.
I've always wanted to just rule my own little country somewhere in Europe. Like Lord Julius.
I wonder if the dictator's on that Zach on film list. It should be if it's not.
It should be. If it's not, let's put it on there.
All right.
I still think we should add things to the list at random because surf Nazis might die.
Nah, we're not going to do that one. I don't care what Leroy's mother says. I don't care what Leroy's mother says. Dark Horse Comics next week.
Dark Horse Comics.
Chronicles of King Conan, trade paperback, Abe Sapien number 6, Domo Japanese Playing Cards. Elf Quest Domo Special Arigato. Final Quest. This might be something that we might want to check out or at least consider. Is? Elf Quest Special Final Quest One Shot.
Sure.
$5.99 Elf? Book.
Well, oh, Special Final Quest
One Shot.
Boom, sold.
Shaolin Cowboy number 1 comes out. A lot of people have liked that in the past. Star Wars number 10. That's the ongoing series. DC Comics has Batgirl number 24. Batman number 24, and it says note price.
Are you sure $6.99?
That isn't this week? I'm looking at 10/9/2013. Okay. Yeah, so it says Batman number 24, note price $6.99 for that book next week. I did see something, I forget which website it was, where they were talking about how DC, because of this Villains Month thing, has basically abandoned their $2.99 price structure. Yeah. And now 22-page books are going to be $3.99 instead of the 28-page books being $3.99. 20-page books will still be $2.99. Batman number 24 will be $6.99. Keep that in mind, kids.
It's a 19-and-a-half-page book.
Probably.
In Baltimore, it's $6.42.
Coffin Hill number 1 comes out. I have no idea what that is about.
Are you sure that's not this week?
I'm looking. It says here, upcoming releases for 10/9/2013.
Are you sure that's not 9/10/3010?
No.
Okay. Because both Shaolin Cowboy and Coffin Hill are both already called in the Frasm.
Somebody must have jumped on them. It is new comic book day.
That's true, it is.
Let's see. Ghostbusters number 8. Well, let's look down here at we'll find out when we get down here to Marvel.
In the name of who you gonna call?
No, these are books that are all coming out next week. IDW Publishing has Ghostbusters number 8, speaking of music there. Kill Shakespeare, trade paperback volume 3, The Tide of Blood. Mars Attacks, Judge Dredd number 2. Memory. I want to see what this book is about. Memory Collectors number 1 from IDW Publishing. Image Comics has America's Got Powers number 7. You like that series.
Number 7?
Yeah, chew number 37.
I thought it was 6-issue limited.
Well, maybe now it's an ongoing. Hoax Hunters number 11. Rocket Girl number 1. I don't know what that's about. Peter Panzerfaust number 15.
I can tell you what it's about. She packed her bags last night. Pre-flight.
Yeah, pre-flight.
0 hour, 9 a.m. And she's going to be...
And the only word that she said, Volkov.
As a guy.
Marvel Comics has The Astonishing X-Men number 68, Avengers Arena number 16,
Oy.
Captain America Living Legend by Granov poster, $8.99. So you can either get a poster featuring the art from this book, or you can get a $6.99 Batman number 24.
I choose C, none of the above.
Dexter number 4.
Oh,
Infinity,
I love him.
Number 4.
Dee Dee, get out of my lab!
Superior Spider-Man team-up number 4. And Thor, God of Thunder, number 14, coming out next week from Marvel Comics. In the miscellaneous section, we have Afterlife with Archie, number 1, which we are reviewing next week.
Oh, crap. We're already reviewing that next week.
Yep, we are.
ElfQuest Special is not going to be next week. We apologize for the inconvenience. Please stand by.
And some of you may be saying, hey, wait a minute, Steven. Hey, wait a minute, Matthew. You guys promised the Dueling Reviews was going to be a show that comes out on the day that new comic books are released. Well, listeners, we have been recording Critical Hit, our Major Spoilers Dungeons & Dragons podcast, on Wednesdays. And so as that comes up in the schedule. As that comes up in the schedule, we have to bump the show to the day later. Next week, we should be on Wednesday, I do believe.
And we'll be able to talk about the steaming corpse of Forsyth P. Jones.
Death Sentence number 1.
Nice.
Hero Bear and the Kid, Inheritance, number 3. Indie Comics Magazine, It Came, number 3. Get your mind out of the gutter. John Carpenter's what? Asylum, number 3. Johnny the Homicidal Maniac, number 1. Jurassic Strike Force 5, trade paperback.
What?
That's what it's called. Jurassic Strike Force 5.
Dude, that sounds like a Quentin Tarantino movie.
Owl, number 4. Pathfinder, number 9. Rachel Rising, Screwed, number 5.
Hey. Don't say those close together because one is a proper noun and one is a verb.
Sons of Anarchy, number 2. SpongeBob Comics, number 25.
Yeah.
And Warlord of Mars. So many comics. I cannot wait. I am so excited for Afterlife with Archie, number 1.
I am too. Now, is Francavilla doing covers and interiors?
I think he's doing the interiors too.
Who's writing?
It is somebody that we all
Roberto
know.
Roberto Aguirre Sacasa.
Is that who it is?
Yeah, I think it was him, the guy who used to do Marvel Divas, which is totally underrated, by the way. Marvel Divas?
Yeah, I remember. That's the one that had the
It was Monica Rambeau and the Black Cat and Firestar and Patsy Walker.
That was the tentacle porn cover that everybody was all in
arms. No, that was Heroes for Hire.
Oh, okay.
Marvel Divas was the one where everybody's like, are you just ripping off Sex in the City with Hellcat? And the answer was yes. Yes, I am.
Yeah, no, Francesco Francavilla doing all the art. So I can tell you right now, the art's going to rock.
And it's fun to say Francesco Francavilla.
He's such a nice guy. I got to tell you, I've met him at least once, and he follows us on Twitter. He's such a nice guy. So
I like his art.
Yeah, his art is awesome.
I've never met him. I mean, he could be a total putz.
No. He's super nice.
Schmuck and putz and
He was there at the Planet Comic Con that you and I went to that one time. You remember that one that you and I went to that I got to hang out and talk with Gail Simone?
Oh, I did meet Francesco Francavilla.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's awesome. And you got to hang out with Gail Simone, and I got to shoot you the finger.
Oh, boy. Good times. But Archie, Afterlife with Archie, cannot wait for that next week on Dueling Reviews. Listeners, if you enjoy this podcast, head over to iTunes. Give us some ratings. I don't care if it's good. I don't care if it's bad. But if you are going to give us a negative review, which, you know, some people may feel that they need to do, come on, be polite. Just say, hey, I don't like you guys.
Or give us some constructive criticism. I mean, we freely admit that there are times that we turn into a couple of raging douche nozzles. And if you feel like that's happening, say, you guys are douche nozzles because A, B, and C, and we will be able to take your constructive criticism and implement and or ignore necessary.
As necessary. Here's the other thing. If you think that this podcast is worth, 25 cents a month. Consider becoming a member.
Isn't that about what you make off?
Do I? I don't know. Consider becoming a VIP, a Major Spoilers VIP. For you can be a bronze, a silver, a gold member. You can find out more at members.majorspoilers.com. When you help us out in entertaining you, not only do you ensure that this podcast continues, but all the podcasts in the Major Spoilers podcast network, and new podcasts on the way, and new stuff for our VIPs. You can find out original art, new original podcast files, behind-the-scenes stuff, all over at members.majorspoilers.com. Go check it out. And if you are looking to buy something, why don't you, in this holiday season, I was asking if holiday music is playing at people's jobs yet. If you're going to buy something for the holiday season, do your shopping at Amazon.com. And if you do, click on that link over at majorspoilers.com and help us out as well there. Anything else, Matthew, before we get out of here?
Well, I think in the words of Eleanor Roosevelt, nobody ever lends money to a man with a sense of humor.
See you next time, everybody.